You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of June 8th, 2016, and we want you to listen to this in good health. Aww.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Abor.
My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It's like a clinic on the internet.
Yeah.
And the sick things we're talking about this week.
Oh, God. We're one step ahead of the FDA.
We just barely, man.
We're on a train that never stops.
Experience Points is street legal, okay?
Ask your doctor.
Legalizes Experience Points. Yeah. Today we're talking about an article by a fellow by the name of Christopher Gile from Gama Sutra called Health 101 with Professor Yoshi's Island.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually kind of a cool design blog. It actually talks a little bit about health as a measurement of, I guess, mistakes to some extent in the way that video game designers create systems of health.
Mm-hmm.
We've been playing a lot of Overwatch, played a bunch of Dark Souls. I'm probably sick right now of some mysterious disease I haven't discovered yet. We think it's probably a good conversation to have. What are some of the examples of good health systems in games? What are some of the cool ones that we think are well designed in terms of, you know, not being too brutal? Because that's, you know, when I think about player health, one of the first things I think about is just how brutal of a system is it? Because in my mind, and I think this is true for Christopher's article as well, but most of the time when we think about health in a video game, it's a form of punishment, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you mess up, you remove your health.
Yeah.
The classic example are games where you have a little like heart meter above you or whatever. But it's interesting to think about other games that don't do that. The one that I often go to is Halo or many shooters where your sort of just screen is red and there's no clear indication that your health is bad at all.
I mean, I'm sure Halo wasn't the first to do it, but it was definitely like,
I guess it has shields, so that's maybe slightly different than
health. I mean, even the first Halo, remember, you had the shield and the
health packs
but then they eventually, but I mean, I think
until Reach, right? Then they had health packs again,
right? But I think, I mean, I think it's still fair to say that Halo was probably instrumental in drifting us towards the like regenerating health model. And yeah, that was like, I remember thinking to myself, like, how weird that was. Because, like, what's your concept before that? Like, Quake or Doom or something?
Where you just die? Like, what was the deal with Doom? Did you have a, did you keep
health packs, man?
Yeah, but, like, was there a number on the screen? Like, you have 5 health.
Yeah. And then also the guy's face would get more bloody, too.
Oh,
remember
right,
that thing?
Okay.
Like, the Doom guy? But, like, most games, even most first-person games were, you know, numerical health based and health pack based, Quake, Doom, and even some of the later ones like Unreal or.
Do you like that, out of curiosity? Like, do you like the clarity of your health? Because to some extent, if we are going with what Christopher's talking about, right, of health as a measurement of a mistake, right? Like, if you messed up and you got hit by, say, a giant ball that was rolling down the street, and it's clear you could have avoided that.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a bunch of damage to you to punish you for your mistake, right? Because this was easily avoided.
Yeah.
With that in mind, clarity is good because it teaches you, oh, I lost X number of health.
Yeah.
I need to figure out how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a game like Halo or a lot of other shooters, Call of Duty is a good example, when your screen is just sort of fuzzy red, it's actually the complete opposite of clarity because now it's even harder to see where you're being hit from.
Yeah.
And you can learn less from the loss of health. Like, losing health isn't a learning opportunity in the way that it is in other games.
I'm actually surprised that there seems to be so much diversity in how they handle it.
Even in terms of how games handle
health. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not something that I have thought about too carefully before, but it's strange that there are some games, and, you know, this was even mentioned in the article, where, like, even in something as simple as Super Mario, there are times when you can get hit once by a Goomba, you'll get penalized, but then you'll still keep going. But if you fall down a hole, that's game over right there.
Right. So, like, there's, like, you don't, like, different bounce out of the hole, a smaller version of Mario.
So it's like, there's,
until I hack it to be that.
If only my Mario Maker level could do that. I mean, I think even in the same game, it's interesting that some mistakes are like a unit of like, you can make three mistakes exactly.
Right.
But except if it's this type of mistake, and then it's a catastrophic mistake and it's game over. Like, even within the same game.
Like when you go outside the boundaries of a level.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's strange. And so and then again, there's games where it's like early game, like in Zelda, you start off with 3 hearts. But then as you progress, you get more and more hearts. And it's not even that enemy.
It's the Valentine's Day
approach. It's not even that, like, some enemies will always do 1 heart of damage. Right. Whether you have 20 hearts or 3 hearts.
Yeah.
And so it's not like it's taking a bigger percentage of your health. It's just taking the same percentage, except you have more. You can actually be sloppier in a weird way.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like enforcing a stricter, I guess it's enforcing a learning path early. And then it's assuming that you've done that learning, and then it's okay to give you more and more hearts.
Oh, I see what you mean. Know? Because then you could be a bit more, but I guess the assumption then is the difficulty is amping up so much that you will be more prone to mistakes, or there are more opportunities to make those mistakes until you reach a save point or something.
There's like a, you know, instead of 1 heart each, a certain enemy takes 3 hearts each, you know?
Does that happen in the...
Yeah, there's plenty of Zelda games where, like, there are certain enemies that do more damage than others. But, like, I think that even that is kind of, from, like, an aesthetic perspective, even that's kind of confusing because, like, early game, you get shot by an arrow, it takes 1 heart. But, like, later game, you get shot by, like, you know, a magic missile or something, and that somehow takes 3. Like,
well, it's magic, Scott. I mean,
but that's the thing. Like,
you ever been shot by a magic?
You have to fucking learn it, right? It's like it's not like it's a rule that is explicitly stated.
You don't see the magic missile coming and go, "Oh fuck, man, that's 3 hearts."
Yeah, it's like, "Oh, there it goes. I guess I just must need to understand that for some reason, you know, this skeleton sword does 1 hit.
Yeah.
And this skeleton sword does 3 hits, you know."
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird because at that point, it's pretty clear it's just scaling, right? Like, they're scaling the difficulty and they want this challenge to be similar at level one while still giving you the feeling of progression and strength and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's where it's interesting to play games like Dark Souls where you can invest in your health.
Yeah.
And if I want to and I min-max it, I have an insane amount of health. Mm. But I'm lacking all of these other things. Because at that point, you are having to predict where you think your mistakes are going to be.
Yeah.
Like, if I think, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to block. I'm not going to use shields. Right. I'm doing like a no-shields run in Dark Souls. I might want to raise all of my health so that I can take these big, beefy hits without dying. Because I know when I make those mistakes, that's the type of mistake I'm going to make. Mm. It's not a mistake of, oh, I messed up my parrying time or something. Mm. It's very clear. I know I'm going to take this number of hits. What hits can I take and still survive? Okay, now I'm planning. I'm not reacting to my health being lost in the way that Christopher talks a little bit about the article. I'm designing the very way that I play based upon how much health I think I'm going to lose.
Mm. I think in a strange way, something like Dark Souls has some similarities to like a Halo or Call of Duty because you don't...
Because just drink those Estus flasks.
If only Master Chief had an Estus flask. You don't necessarily know how much an enemy is going to damage you when it hits you in Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah.
You can kind of have an educated guess based on like the size of the enemy and like whether the sword is on fire or not.
Yeah.
But unlike when you hit an enemy, you see a number pop out of the guy.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen with you. It's not like an RPG where you see hit points in either direction.
Yeah, trading back and forth.
You can just kind of see like, okay, that took roughly 2/3 of my health.
Yep.
But I don't know exactly why because I have armor and I have this magic spell on me. Like it's a vague type of...
It's even more complicated because... Even something like a shield, if you have a magic shield, a shield that blocks magic attacks, it's not like your shield is a glowing blue aura.
Yeah.
In fact, you can create great magic shields to give yourself a huge blue glowing aura shield, but it still blocks things in different ways.
Yeah.
So there's no physical attribute of the shield that you could tell will block X amount of health.
Yeah.
In the way that you do know from the size of a weapon. Or the same is true for fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm playing against Voldo, and that motherfucker is coming at me with claws, and I'm playing a character with just fists, and I'm blocking with my forearms, you'd think I'd take a little bit more damage.
Wait, are you talking about Vega?
Voldo? Isn't he the character from Soul Calibur?
Oh, I have no clue who Voldo is.
He's a character from Soul Calibur.
Wait, are there two fighting game characters, both with V names that use claws?
Yes.
Man, we need a crossover stat.
Anyway, okay, fine. Vega's a good example, too. Yeah. I mean, Ryu, though, is hella ripped. He could block a claw. So, you know, if you're blocking, you're going to be taking damage from there's no parity between the weapon that's being attacked or being used to attack you and how much health you're taking. Yeah. Other than, I guess, the size of the character model, generally.
Yeah.
Something like Street Fighter.
That could be true. But I still think that the Dark Souls example, similar actually to the Halo and Call of Duty example, it puts the fear of uncertainty in your head.
Oh, I mean, I have that fear of uncertainty anyway.
But it brings it out.
Especially
to
Dark
like,
Souls.
But it makes it more...
Oh, I see what you mean. Because health isn't a hard number.
Yeah, it's like, I know I'm going to get hit, and I know this is going to be bad. But I don't know exactly how bad.
You know,
this
that's a really good
be.
Point.
You know?
And you're right. I think the comparison to like Halo or Call of Duty is apt.
Yeah.
Because I think what happens is you take a hit and you have X amount of health and you go, I think I can probably take one more hit like that, right?
Yeah.
And then you do take the hit and you have a barely sliver of health left, right? That feeling of not knowing whether or not you can take another hit like that is what creates some of that excitement, right?
Yeah.
Now, when you're playing Call of Duty and suddenly your screen is all red because you're bloodied, you don't actually know how many more bullets you can take.
Yeah.
And to some extent, if you did know how many bullets you can take, it would be less exciting. You'd go, oh, okay, I've got 2 seconds to get out of this combat.
Mm-hmm.
What it is, in some ways, it's similar to the way that shmups play around with hit box's size, right? You actually have more health than you think you do, but it creates this level of excitement.
Yeah,
that's actually not true in Dark Souls, though.
No.
You have exactly that much health. Do not fuck around.
Have you ever used the spell in Dark Souls that gives you like one hit point after you die?
Yeah.
I didn't use it in my playthrough, but I saw someone who designed a special PvP build or something that uses this.
Because there's a weapon or a ring that you can wear that increases the damage you do based on how little health you
exactly.
have.
Exactly.
So you basically get... You just go ham. You just go absolutely ham and kill people.
And you know, the health in a PvP instance is also a strategic thing because people get greedy when they see a low health bar.
That's true. And so it would bait them out.
Yeah, it just lured people in, and he had some huge mace or something that would just one-shot people at that low amount of health. But I think, again, I think it's like a pressure thing where you don't really know how much you can survive in a precise amount because you're not like timing it out.
Yeah.
But you know that you could probably take some. And so there's always this like gray area of like, okay, how much can I actually push this system before something snaps?
Totally, yeah. I also think it's interesting that Dark Souls and some other games do this as well. A League of Legends, for example. Mm-hmm. When you take damage, it won't immediately lower your health.
Yeah.
Or rather it does, but it shows you like a... Like
shows
a,
the drain.
Yeah, like a ghostly apparition of how much damage that was.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a good way of explaining to someone in relatively unclear terms how much damage they took.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a longer period of time to consider, oh, that's how much damage I'm taking.
Yeah.
Or even if it's sustained damage, if you see your health bar going do-do-do-do-do-do-do and it's set against this like stark yellow color, it's a little bit easier to read.
Yeah.
Which is weird, right? Because at that point, you really are paying specific attention to your health.
Yeah.
And what's more, I think there are games that are especially fun that play around with that whole, the way that you read your health, right?
Mm.
So in League of Legends, there's a character called Tahm Kench.
Mm.
And Tahm Kench, when he takes damage, this is kind of complicated.
Mm.
He doesn't actually take that damage.
Mm.
What happens instead is instead of his health going down, all of the damage that he would take goes gray.
Mm.
And if he gets out of combat, his health will start filling up to a percentage of that gray.
Oh, yeah.
So sort of his health will go down and then slowly climb back up. Not to the full amount it was before, but slowly.
Yeah.
But he can also hit a button and all of that health that he did take, all the damage he did take, suddenly becomes a shield on top of his health.
Mm.
So his health can fluctuate dramatically. You could think, oh, he's almost dead. Boom, now actually all of a sudden he has a ton amount of health.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like weird counterplay and play you have in reading your own health and your enemy's health as well.
I think that... that thing also leads to not just like giving up if you take a lot of damage, or like a desperate move where you know you're gonna die because you're poisoned or something, but if you can just get back to the healing area, like, you can actually regenerate.
That's when I, like, my panic run.
But it reminds me of Earthbound, too, like, when you can cycle through your turn super fast because your health is actually scaling down, like, a meter, like a, you know, taxi cab meter or whatever, and so it's like, I know you hear that, like, sickening sound of the critical hit, and you know that in, like, 30 seconds my health is going to scroll down to zero, but if I can get through these two turns I can probably finish the battle,
you know, before that's right. Right, because you can execute your moves before the health has actually hit you.
There's like an analog sense of, like, it's almost like a bleed out mechanic where, like, you can do a final strike or something, and if you can finish the battle, you can get away alive.
Health is really just like a way to mess with tension at that point. You and I have both been playing a lot of Overwatch, and one of the characters we've both been getting into is Winston. And Winston has the most health of any character in Overwatch.
Oh, is he the top?
He is the top.
Even, what's his face?
Reinhardt?
I feel like Roadhog has so much...
Roadhog has a lot.
Maybe it's just because I hate him because he can self-heal.
Maybe. Actually, I think Roadhog does have quite a bit, but...
But he's one of the top.
He's one of the top, So Winston has like 500 health or whatever. But his ultimate, which I think is really cool... increases health to 1,000 health, right? But what's insane is that when you trigger his ultimate, he heals. It's not like you lose that of that 1,000, how much you had lost of the 500. So if you go down to one hit point and you trigger his ultimate, you go right back all the way up to 1,000.
It's just like a panic button.
Yeah, it's a panic button. And then when his ultimate wears out, if more than 500 damage wasn't dealt to him, he's fully healed again. So in a weird way, you could trigger his ult as a form of healing. You could trigger it as a panic attack. Or you can trigger it as a way to extend your presence in combat to essentially have 1,500 health, which is an absurd amount of health. Absolutely decimating any other character in Overwatch. It's I just love the idea of a sort of panic button where your health can go from zero to stupid in like no seconds flat. Because it takes that idea of like tension and just absolutely flips it and creates this immediately rewarding feeling of like, fuck yeah, I'm back, I'm ready, let's go.
I was thinking about Overwatch a lot because it harkens back to like health pack days. You know, because there are definitely times where I don't know the levels very well, but like there are definitely times where it's like, well, I better do the circuit of like going around and like grabbing health and like, and that's something that uses health for both, you know, both to like, you know, make sure that there are consequences and to keep people moving, but also to like keep the entire match moving. Like people will always be needing to kind of circle around the map because you can't just camp out and get more health.
And I didn't really think about that. I didn't realize I missed that, I think, until you mentioned it right now. Because there was a moment the other day where I was playing as Junkrat and I was like fighting a Reaper, and there was a big health pack in the room we were fighting, and I see him going for it. And I was like, oh, fuck. I have to get there before he does. So I proactively threw my satchel charge onto the health pack and blew it up to knock him away so I could get the health pack. That's insane. Like, that's a little piece of tension where all of a sudden, you know, normally this would be a regular match, but because health is the way that you play, right, is absolutely a clutch necessary thing, suddenly this thing is super important. And I know that the cooldown is significant for getting that health back.
It takes a while,
And there are times when your teammate takes a health back and you're like, wow, fuck you. You really need it to top off right now? Fucking
he's
Roadhog.
Like, he's missing five HP.
You wait 2 seconds and eat like your fucking juice box and you're good to go. You know, like, let me, Symmetra, get that health back or whatever, right? But it really adds this like sudden, I guess you would call them objective, map objectives, right? In a game where you wouldn't normally have map objectives. They have that in ARAM and League of Legends, but very few games have health as a map objective in competitive scenarios. Especially shooters, because so much of the shooter genre now has regenerating health. Because people want to feel empowered, they want to get back into battle.
Or they just, even if, because I have a sense of just watching the small amount of first-person esports that I do, like, those games are designed to be so fast that, like, if you get shot, you're basically gone.
Yeah, that's
you
also know? True. Yeah.
Like, it's not like you're going to drawn out.
Counter-Strike
like,
or something.
Yeah. Even, like, competitive Call of Duty, it's like, blim, 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 done. You know, yeah. It's like, it's not like you're going to go regenerate health anywhere. Yeah.
Well, the health you need to be concerned about is your blood pressure.
Like, as you raging play those games. Out. Someone knifes you from across the map.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's... I missed that sort of thing, too, because... We had just gone for such a long time where the mode of playing was the, like, whatever they call it, like hit scan or something. Like, it's there to, like, if you get hit two or three times, it's gone. You're not really there for, like, an extended period of time.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm finding myself liking that, but also realizing that it's unique in Overwatch to have a game where health is so different character to character.
Yeah.
Which is usually like, I mean, you're playing like Counter-Strike or Call of Duty or something. Like, it's not like one person is a Winston and one person is a Tracer. Well,
like, let's go down the list, right? Like, Zenyatta has a shield for some of his health.
Yeah.
And the shield regenerates, but the health does not.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Mercy who auto heals. You got Lucia who auto heals.
Yeah.
You have Symmetra who puts shields on other people but not herself.
Yeah.
And then you have Torbjorn who produces armor that other people including himself can pick up and stacks on top of health.
Yeah. And all of this is stacking on various health bars that range from like
200
to 500, you know. And you know those weapons will do the same amount of damage, but it's just a higher percentage if it hits you and you're a weaker character.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh,
then you have things like snipers as well, right? Where if, you know, a well-timed headshot will always kill.
Yeah. I mean, I think something like that puts...
Unless you have a shield or something, I guess.
I guess. I mean, there's... But that's... I think that's going into the realm of like... That's the other way of handling health, where it is a numerical value, where it's like, I know I can go in here and take X amount of seconds of damage because this Winston will do 20 things per zap or whatever.
Well, that's the benefit of snipers in the first place, right? Yeah. It essentially negates all these other mechanics that are built up around the health system and just says, hey, you one-shot people.
Yeah.
There you go. Go, have fun.
I'm trying to think of other games that I played that... are much more like strict about numerical health. I keep coming back to like RPGs where it's like at a certain point when I used to play like Final Fantasy games, it's like, oh, okay, I know this attack will always do 37 damage no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I mean, I think one of the weirder examples would be healing in MMOs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I played years of World of Warcraft primarily as a healer in like raid dungeons. And I played a druid, which is one of the more complex heals you can be. Because at that point, you know, so this particular great heal heals for maybe like 1,000 HP, right? So you know, okay, I can cast this particular heal spell, and that's my emergency heal. It's got a long cooldown, but I can burst somebody. But then you also have heals over time that you can throw on people, and they stack, but they're... But now, all of a sudden, you start worrying about the diminishing returns of healing for how much mana you're using. And it's weird because there comes a point where you go, okay, at this point, this person has taken so much damage, I need to move on. Like, I'll just let them die. Or I need to, you know, I need to change up how I heal, or I need to add weird gear items or something to... Or change my rotation to maximize my efficiency of my heals. Because at that point, you're basically like min-maxing the healing process. You know, like covering for other people to let them do their work.
Yeah.
I mean, the act of healing other people in games is fascinating to me. Because I think I love playing support characters. Yeah. And it every game plays supports in slightly different ways. You know? And I think Overwatch is actually a really interesting one. Because there are a lot of characters that are not classic supports that have taken... classic support abilities from other games and put them in their own kit. So like Reinhardt's shield is a classic support character's ability, basically, or Winston's bubble shield, right? Like, there's abilities that are commonly associated with healers and support characters, but it's removed from those characters instead, and you get characters that actually do a decent amount of offensive damage, right? Like Zenyatta can throw those debuff orbs.
God, those orbs.
They're brutal, man. Yeah. They're absolutely brutal. Yeah. And it's such a weird thing because it is a support maneuver in a way, because you're increasing someone else's damage, much like you would with Mercy, but it's targeted. Mm-hmm. So there's this very specific skill and aiming skill and target prioritization skill that goes into playing the support character that is actually really interesting and robust and better, honestly, than a lot of other health characters that are designed in games. Where you get someone like Lucio, who can heal people, but is also incredibly mobile, which is actually a trademark that's not generally associated with healers, because healers tend to be so healthy and robust that they're often the first ones targeted.
But it's also you're dealing with someone who's the fastest person on the map, but the way that he helps people is by being close to others.
Yes,
so there's exactly. like this constant tension of like, well, I can roam around the whole map, but I'd be kind of wasting the point of my character of like helping people out by being close to them.
Yep.
So it's like this weird little like buzzing maneuver that you're always going around people to like go fast, but also don't stray too far.
I mean, he's the dumbest character in Overwatch.
Maybe he actually is Sonic in disguise.
He probably is. And, you know, even the idea of his ultimate, right? Which when he breaks it down, he gives everybody in a certain vicinity a huge shield that quickly degrades. So that's such a cool ult. And his character is so, I think, super well designed. But that ult is great because you can bait the enemy into thinking they have an easy victory. And then you drop it. You literally drop the
beat. It like it's hot.
You drop it like it's hot. And your teammates have a window, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so interesting about playing as a healer in the first place, right? Is it's a lot of this strategic, you're opening up strategic space for somebody else to execute.
Mm.
And that's really satisfying. If you're a support main in any game, one, hats off to you. Thank you so much. But two, like, it's such a different level of play because you are playing around with something that normally is off limits in games, right?
Yeah.
Like, other than going and picking up a health pack, the ebb and flow of health is not something that you really actively engage in. It's not, you know, this is something that you do to supplement yourself, to pick up heals, or in an RPG you might have like a heal bot, but the primary purpose isn't that. And then to jump into those hero based games where you go, you know what, your primary purpose is in fact to heal, how do you open space, how do you open opportunities for other people?
I just like paying attention to, because you're, you know, I find that I actually get better at games if I play as a healer for a while, because you're just paying attention to like, oh, okay, I understand how these characters work.
I mean, I think there's a reason that a lot of like MOBA shot callers tend to be their supports. I mean, it's not universally the case, but there are quite a few examples of great shot callers who are support players.
Yeah.
And part of it is they don't have to CS, so it frees them up to like stare at the minimap.
Yeah.
But there's an awareness of like that minutia of somebody's health that is so easy to lose when you're in the thick of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been times in any game where you just go ham and you die super fast because you thought you had more health than you did.
Mm.
Dark Souls, of course, all the time.
Yeah.
But as a healer, like, you don't have that benefit. You have to pay attention to people.
Yeah.
You have to know their play style and like what goes. And like, you know, in Overwatch, that's a great example when you're playing as Mercy, because you'll see certain people and immediately know. And again, this is a testament to how well the character design is in Overwatch. But you go, okay, I really like healing this character. I don't like healing this character. Like, I love healing a Pharah, for example, because it keeps me lofty in the air as Mercy. I hate healing Tracers because I'll be in the middle of battle and she'll rewind time and all of a sudden I'm completely alone.
You're just looking around up.
You're like, little help, anybody?
Little
help. I mean, there are times when I've been playing with people and being like, fucking just come a little closer and save my life. You have to do nothing but walk like 5 feet in my direction. It's a terrible feeling, but the fact that like every time you're healing someone, it changes how you think about the game because you're not just healing an arbitrary person. You're healing someone who has with them a kit that fundamentally changes the way that you play.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think we've healed all wounds
I feel better.
Until we play one game of Overwatch and those ingrates.
Oh, tracers. Yeah, those ungrateful tracers.
ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our... Well, I already made our Experience Points clinic joke. Maybe it's
we already have the clinic.
Health insurance.
We
are voting tomorrow.
This is our... we were funded by Obamacare.
Yeah, exactly.
It's our health collective, our co-op, if you will.
Absolutely right. Leave us a star rating on iTunes, etc. It helps us find new listeners.
Yep. All right, everyone. Until next time, thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao. Yeah.